Hello, listeners. This is Darren, and welcome to another episode of The Criterionist, a look at the Criterion Collection, one spine number at a time. This is episode 30, so we are going to talk about spine number 30, and that is Fritz Lang's 1931 film, M. So I guess I have a special guest.
You guess you have a special guest.
I guess I do. And it is my wife, McKinsey.
Hello,
McKinsey.
Hello, Darren.
How are you?
I'm good.
Good. So just so you guys know, this is a podcast where I will spoil the heck out of it. We will talk about everything and anything.
We want to.
Are you ready?
Oh, yeah.
Cool. Okay, let's get into the plot. It opens with these kids playing, like, this ring around a Rosie game.
Yeah.
They're like,
like, eeny, meeny, miny, moe kind of thing.
Kind of, but, like, the not the lyrics, but the lines they are saying are pretty dark.
Very
like,
ring, dark.
Ring around the Rosie. An adult, I think a mother of one of the kids probably, gets pretty upset and says, don't sing that. That's not good. That's not a good thing to say.
Yeah.
All of this because we find out there's a child murderer in the town, and he's going around murdering children.
Yeah.
So there's a girl playing with the ball. She kind of is bouncing it on this poster.
Yeah.
I don't know totally what the poster says, but one of the...
It says that... I don't know what... Do we know his name? M's name?
Beckett.
Beckett?
I think is what eventually is revealed.
Can I just call him M?
Yeah, we're going to call the murderer M, just
because
it's easier.
So the poster says that M has kidnapped this brother and sister, I guess murdered this brother and sister, and, like, they're just saying if you see anything suspicious kind of thing. Like, report it.
So then a man comes up, and we just see his shadow, and it's right over the word murderer. And so then we automatically know who this guy is. He's the child murderer.
He's M.
He takes a girl, like, I don't know, on a date?
Kind of.
Like a play date, almost?
Yeah.
Is what... He's whistling, like this war theme. Isn't he that? Something like that. It's something about war. He buys her a balloon.
It's kind of a creepy looking balloon.
It's very creepy by this blind man that comes into play later. Whistling along, and then...
He buys her candy. We find out later. And... Yeah, I don't know what else they do.
Yeah, but this is cut with the mom of the daughter kind of, like, worrying. Her two kids come home. She's like, where's your sister? They said, oh, she didn't come home. So she's just super worried, and then cuts back and forth until we see the last scene. Her ball just falls, like, rolls down a hill or something. Then it cuts to the balloon. In a telephone wire.
Like stuck in,
like,
a telephone.
Just like stuck in a weird way.
Yeah.
And then we just, again, we know what happens. This film was made in 1931. Can't get away with a lot, but if you're subtle enough, these aren't so subtle, but they're subtle enough that you can piece together what's going on.
Yeah, I don't actually think they ever say... He murdered the, like, obviously he murdered the kids and he's a murderer, but, like, they don't come out and say it. They kind of just dance around it.
And speaking of dancing around, he's probably a pedophile, too.
Yeah.
Most likely.
Yeah.
They cannot say that at all. They can say murderer over and over, but they do hint that he's probably a pedophile as well.
Yeah.
So then a reward is sent out, kind of... There's this long scene of just, like, talking.
Oh, yes.
Um,
it's good information that they're talking about.
Yeah. It's kind of it's long.
It's long.
This is there at the end of the film. It said there was like a 90-minute cut,
yeah,
and that was the cut that's been around for a while. This is the almost 2-hour cut that we watched. Always fun when they find more footage.
Yeah.
But you don't know if that's what Lang wanted. And these talking scenes do go on a long time.
They're very informational.
Yeah.
Like, you find out a lot. And there's... I don't know if you want to go into this yet. There's the police group, and then there's the detective group?
Yeah,
not associated with the police.
I called them the rogue in my
notes.
There
you go.
The rogue group.
So these talking scenes are... The rogue group talking?
Yeah.
And the police talking?
Both, like, making plans to catch this guy. But first, something happens. The townspeople, some of these townspeople start the rogue group, but they're kind of like, there's this old man walking around, and, like a little girl drops something, or...
No, the little girl asked the guy what time it was.
What time it was, and he, like anyone would, gives her the time,
and then
the townspeople freak
out.
Well,
he asks where she lives.
Oh, yeah. He's...
We never figure out why he does that.
He's just being a nice guy, I think, is the impression you're supposed to get.
Yeah.
But he gets...
The townspeople freak out.
Like, a mob forms immediately, and they try to crucify him, even though he's not the guy.
I think the townspeople were just... They're just so desperate to find this murderer.
Uh-huh.
And they just want to protect their kids. They're just willing to accuse anybody that might fit anything.
And we know it's not this guy because we've seen the other guy before. Yeah. I think that's done on purpose, that these townspeople are so convinced it's this guy, even though he didn't really do anything.
Yeah.
But we know it's not. So we're like, no, stop. You have the wrong man. Then just a lot of talking. The policemen, I believe... are in a room full of smoke.
I think both of them are.
And it shows the passage of time, because it cuts back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually it's just like smoke's coming from the cigarette, eventually turns to just a room full of smoke. Just like fog almost.
So they've been there for a while.
Did
we mention that M wrote letters?
Oh, yeah. I didn't get that part.
So, M wrote a letter to the police, and I think the intention was that they would publish the letter to the public, and they didn't. So, he wrote a second letter directly to the press, so they would publish it in the newspaper, and they did. But with both the letters, they're trying to track down the writing.
Oh, right, yeah.
And do we want to go into that? The
sure.
table?
Well, not yet. Okay. We'll get to that, but...
We'll get to that.
I guess during the talking, they find out...
Yeah.
It's wood, but not smooth wood
it's
that
not
he's
like
writing on.
It's like a tabletop.
Red pencil. And then... I don't know what else. That's...
He wrote on, I think, a certain postcard or something.
Yeah, there's something about... Something else they find.
Yeah.
But yeah. So then there's a scene in a bar. The police come. I think this...
It's more... I feel like it's more like a speakeasy. Like,
oh,
it's
yeah.
an underground bar, and they're not really supposed to be there.
They're not supposed to be there.
Yeah.
This is where they grab all... The police are pretty much grabbing suspects.
Yeah.
Kind of, like, looking at their profile and
their ID, pretty much.
And trying to, like, find a match. But... Or at least, like, someone who knows the guy.
Yeah.
I think that's what they get to.
They sorted them out, like, they're okay, or they have to go down to the precinct. And apparently, a character says they took away, like, 3 paddy wagons full of people to take down to the precinct. So I'm just like, that's a lot of people that they have to process through.
That's going
to
take forever.
I don't know. I thought it was funny that they found a robber, because he had the newspaper saying he robbed a bank.
Yeah.
And he was about to get passed, and then they're like, never mind, you're going to go down.
So that's police's plan. The rogue group's plan is to get the beggars in the town to follow...
Anything that looks suspicious, pretty much.
Basically following little girls, little boys.
Well,
at some point they say that.
Yeah, but I think it's more of them watching over the children.
And
rather than being like creepy watching over the children.
This is why the cops aren't doing it. It's not a great plan. Getting beggars to follow people. I mean, they could break the house. They could be creepers themselves.
But at the same time, it's kind of a smart plan because the beggars are always good. Like, they know what's going on the street because they're always there.
They're always there.
So it's a good,
and then one
good plan, but kind of a dumb plan.
Yeah.
It's kind of both.
And yeah, I think that's a theme that we might get to later. So, there's another very brief scene where, like, this father is taking his daughter to school.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, at this point, the townspeople are even more paranoid than before. Like, there's just this long walk through the sidewalk, and every adult's just kind of turning their head, watching.
And the beggars are watching,
too. The beggars, you can tell the beggars are keeping an eye out, and it's just, like, mass paranoia. Every adult man with a young child is being watched.
No, I guess it doesn't have to be just girls.
A lot of them are girls, which is why I get the impression he might be
a pedophile,
but
yeah.
So the leader of the rogue group, he visits. I forgot how they figure it out.
They were taking, I think each member or each two members were taking like a group of men.
Yeah.
That kind of fit the profile and visit them, their house. And I think this was just one of the stops.
Yes. So he visits
M's house.
And he's out, though. It cuts to him, like, eating candy or something.
Isn't he at the bar drinking? Not at a bar.
No, he's outside.
He's outside somewhere.
He's outside. So the guy's waiting for him. But while he's waiting, he's looking for clues. He finds a smooth table. He's like, this isn't it.
He's looking for a rough surface.
Rough surface, red pencil.
Mm-hmm.
Looks through the trash, just looking for any clues.
Like he looks at, it's a windowsill, right?
Yeah.
And he looks at it, but he doesn't like look at it as that's the place where M has been writing the letters. He just looks at it as a windowsill, and he kind of just moves on.
Yeah. So there's one scene I think I skipped where I think this doctor or someone's, like, trying to rationalize, like, why someone would do this and said this man must be crazy, must be insane, something like that.
Yeah.
And then, like, M is looking in the mirror and, like, makes himself smile.
Yeah.
It's creepy. It's kind of sad.
And he makes himself frown and smile.
Frown, too. And we, like, I don't know if the doctor or what this guy is saying. He's trying to rationalize, but then we realize, like, this guy's long gone.
Yeah.
So on another scene with a mirror, he's looking at these toys. And then he sees the girl in the reflection.
Oh, yeah.
And you, like, Peter Lorre, the actor, is great in this performance.
Yes.
I'll get to that later. But he like, looks at her and, like, fear comes on his face almost.
Yeah.
Like, oh my gosh, the bad guy is gonna come and take over. Then he starts whistling again.
Yeah.
And then he doesn't give it a second thought, really. Follows her, tries to be nice to her. I don't know if he tries to be nice to her. I don't think he reaches her.
No.
Because this girl runs into her mom. The mom's like, hey, don't run off.
Yeah.
She's like, sorry, mom. And then he has, like, a quiet breakdown almost. He goes to, like, a diner outside sitting.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about.
Yeah.
And he orders coffee, and then he orders wine, and then I think he orders some hard liquor.
Yeah. He's gonna,
like, he doesn't order all of those. He ends up just saying.
He says coffee, no wait. Some wine, no wait. Give me that hard liquor.
Yeah.
And then he starts whistling again.
Uh-huh.
And it's
kind of creepy because he's, like, in a fenced area and has, like, vines on it.
And that's how we're looking into him. These holes in this, like, vined fence area.
Mm-hmm.
But he's, like, he's whistling and he's, like, breaking. like crack. His voice is almost cracking.
Mm-hmm.
It's sad. It's sad and creepy. So then, he keeps walking. He leaves. He's pretty upset. He leaves. Starts whistling. Keeps whistling, I mean.
Mm-hmm.
And then the blind balloon salesman hears him. And he's like, wait a minute. That's
the man I heard the day that this little girl disappeared.
Died.
From the beginning.
Yeah. So then he calls his friend over. Tells him to follow him. Like, that's the guy.
Yeah.
Like, do you hear the guy whistling? And the guy's like, yeah, let me follow him.
But first the guy's like, what are you talking about kind of thing? And the blind guy is like, that's the guy who's murdering these kids.
Yeah.
And, like, before the blind man was finished talking, the guy just took off.
Yeah, the guy takes off. So then, M finds another girl.
Yeah.
And is, like, buying her candy or something.
Candy, bought her a balloon with the blind man. I think the girl was already with him, right?
Maybe, I don't...
Because...
Oh, yeah, maybe.
Yeah, because when we see M again, he's with the girl.
Yeah.
In the candy shop.
So then, this is where the title comes from.
Yes.
The friend of the blind man, he writes in, like, chalk.
Yeah, it's chalk.
M on his hand, walks by,
M.
Walks by M, who has his knife out. We see the friend watching.
Oh, yeah.
He gets his knife out and starts cutting an orange for the little girl. That's a, like, scary scene.
Yeah.
But he walks by him, like, pretends a trip and, mm-hmm. like, smacks his back.
Yeah.
To where...
And the guy is, like, yelling at him for...
Dropping an orange
peel.
So then, like, eventually, M is, like, about to kill this girl or working on...
They're at a toy store.
At a toy store. He kind
of... I think he's at the end of, like, right before.
Yeah.
Still has a little time,
not yeah.
much.
But does the girl make fun of him, or does he just see it?
No, he... I think the girl sees the M. He turns around and sees the M in, like, a mirror or something.
Reflection, which is a great shot.
Yeah.
Like, almost confusing shot.
Yeah.
I don't know how they did it, but...
Don't know. And I thought the little girl was trying to wipe the M off.
Yeah, maybe.
Because she's like, here, I'll get that for you.
And then he looked.
Yeah.
He's found out.
Yeah.
They got me. He starts running off. There's people just like whistling like over here.
It's all the beggars.
All the beggars
that
are
following
like,
him.
Like, whistling.
But they're like tag teaming, so it's not the same person following him.
Uh-huh.
And it's very creative how they do that.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have thought of it.
And then another great shot. He goes into this, like, large alleyway
mm-hmm.
where he's, like, running. And then you see him turn around and you see people come from that way. And you see him turn around again and just trying to, like, zigzagging while people are surrounding yeah. him. He runs into a building pretty much.
Yeah.
They kind of lose him, but they know he's in the building.
Yeah. They know that he's in the building area because... The beggars, I'm assuming, split up. So one's at the back end, one's on the front end. And they both, like, met. And they're like, well, we didn't see him, and they didn't see him. So he has to be inside somewhere.
Yeah, so the rogue group kind of takes over that. Starts...
Well, the office is... It's an office building. The office is closed.
Yeah.
That's when they say... He didn't come out of the building.
Right. We see that, too. We see, mm-hmm. like, people shut down for the night and yeah. leave.
And the gates are closed.
And M is in the dark.
Yeah.
Just hiding. That's when the rogue group
mm-hmm.
gets in and just looks for him.
Yeah. And it is mentioned to, like, call the police. And then somebody is just like, you're stupid. We're not calling the police. We're going ourselves kind of thing.
Yeah, so... I'll just talk about this now. They do a lot of bad things. The rogue group. Do you think kill the guards or just knock them out?
I think they just knocked them out. I thought about it and I watched very carefully and they just seem to be knocked out.
Yeah.
But I don't know if it's because it's 1931 and they can't show that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But
I think they show a body laying though. There's a montage at the end of this sequence where they just show a bunch of shots.
But that guy might be dead because he's the one that notified the police.
Yeah.
So that one would make sense, but the other few guards.
So these rogue people knock out guards, maybe kill a guy. They're like locked. They're like doors that locks are just destroyed.
Yeah.
And
there's
then,
a hole in the ground/ceiling.
Yeah.
Same hole.
Which is such a weird shot. Such a shot that sticks with me.
Oh, yeah. It's a very creative shot.
I can't even explain it. And then, so they get him.
Yeah.
After a long, tense scene.
Yeah.
They hear him making, like, a key. Yeah. And someone's like, hey, there's pounding in here. Let's get him. They get him.
Yeah.
Were you going to say something? They leave a guy behind. That's when the police get there?
Yeah. Because they're like, we have, like, 5 minutes before the police get here. And that, like, they hadn't found him yet.
Yeah.
And they're, like, in storage rooms, kind of. I think that's the only way I can describe it, is that it's like a U-Haul storage place, but inside, obviously smaller. But, like, M is just hiding, probably in the very last one, and they're breaking all the locks and searching all of them. And then the head guy came in, so the police has been notified, you have 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And they all start running out, and then he's like, guys, we have 5 minutes, you can still find him.
Uh-huh.
And then they find him, and then everybody leaves except that one guy.
One guy gets, that's the hole. We just see all these destroyed property, bodies laying, and then this hole in the ground.
And this guy's like, where's the rope?
You forgot the rope. They put down the rope, he climbs up, which is what's so interesting about the shot.
Yeah.
Just like a very weird movement of the camera, especially for the very
not
that time is just point it and like get the microphone near them so we can hear.
Yep.
But this shot's like amazing.
Yeah.
He gets taken to the.
Well, first when he gets out of the hole and he's still holding on to the rope, they're like. They said, like, put his hands up or whatever. And he's like, I can't do it when I'm climbing out and I'm holding onto the rope. Uh-huh. I think there's some humor in this very dark movie.
Yeah,
dark
there has
movie.
To be.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so. What? Yeah, they take him down to the station.
Yeah.
Eventually he reveals, like, we found the guy. And the guy's like, they're saying, you were robbing this place, clearly. He says, no, we found the murderer. Yeah. We found him.
Yeah, the police just think it's a pure robbery until they realize that nothing was taken.
Yeah, and then the guy's like, oh, we gotta... I don't know what he says, but he, like, drops his cigar and then goes to pick it out of his mouth, but it's not there. He's just so much in shock that he didn't notice his cigar fell out.
Yeah.
But then, so we cut to... my favorite scene.
It's probably the best scene in the entire movie.
Yes. They're dragging him, just dragging him, like, he's begging for his life.
Yeah.
Or no, he's begging for his life,
but
pretty much.
They are in this abandoned building that has been abandoned for a while.
Yeah.
At least 10 years. And so, pretty much, they're trying to be in the middle of nowhere so nobody can find them.
Nobody can find them.
Or hear them,
because,
I suppose.
Yeah, they drag him to his room. He says, what do you want from me? Turns around, and pretty much the whole town's there.
Yeah.
Is just there. And they are giving him a fake trial, which is really just yelling at him.
And the whole time, M is just saying, I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't do anything. He has no idea why he's there.
Yeah.
Because it's, like, a split personality thing.
Right. And, they give him his own lawyer, pretty much.
Yeah.
Who seems not to care at first.
Yeah.
Like, hey, I'm your lawyer.
The lawyer pretty much says, like, you shouldn't say long speeches right now, because you can't do anything, pretty much.
Yeah, you're guilty.
Yeah.
Duh.
But I'm here to represent you.
So then, like, M finally understands at that point and, like, screams, like, take me to the police.
Yeah.
Like, I did it. I know what I did.
Yeah.
Give me the right thing. Don't tear me. Like, don't turn into a mob and tear me apart.
Yeah.
Like, I'm Frankenstein. I think it's the same year, but that's, like, what I got. Like, even though Frankenstein didn't really... He did kill a kid on accident in that movie. Spoilers. And then the mob goes after him, and it's kind of like the same thing, except the accident is just this dark side he can't control.
And in that scene, M, like, I don't know, kind of gets free and tries to run to the door.
Yeah.
And then I think it's a very nervous moment for us and M that all, like, everybody tries to stop him. And I've seen it before, but, like, this time around, it's just like, oh my gosh, they're gonna kill him right there. Like, they're not even gonna listen to him or anything.
My notes say run for it, and then mob gets him. Like, there's a lot of times a crowd turns into a mob.
Yeah, a ton of times.
But then he gives this...
He gives it...
The great speech. He hasn't talked maybe the whole movie, maybe a few words. Yeah.
Just
20 tops.
Yeah, just the letters, the two letters.
The letters, and then...
That's about it.
Yeah.
Until this moment.
He gives this amazing speech where you pretty much sympathize for him.
Yeah.
He says, I can't help it. I can't control it. It's
like, I need to do it, but I know it's, like, it's bad. And it's not completely me, because he describes himself as... His shadow is chasing him.
Right. And the shadow again.
Yeah.
The first introduction
of him was a shadow.
Of him was the shadow, and he's saying
this. And there's several other shadows of him throughout the movie too. And so he's very, very fearful of his shadow, and that just makes his split personality, and that's what I got from it.
Yeah, definitely.
Is taking over because fear takes over your split personality. Worser of the two personalities. And so the more he's afraid of himself, the more he's going to act out and kill children.
Yeah, the normal side of him kind of feels like an abused victim. Like,
and it's trapped.
Will, like, listen.
Yeah.
Again, your shadow will never leave.
Mm-hmm.
You'll always have it there, and it'll always just be looming over you.
Yeah.
It's pretty much what he says.
Yeah. And it's just, like, he keeps saying that he can't help it, and it's just the way he is. And the more, like, what I got from it is he's saying the more he tries to stop, the more he's going to do it.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
So then the crowd kind of just, it seems like some, during the speech, some of the crowd's like, I get it.
Sympathetic, more or less.
But then the majority of the crowd, after a speech, starts saying, I don't care what you have to say.
Yeah.
You killed my child.
Yeah, a mother stands up and says, no. Like, the mom heard everything he had to say and said, no, you killed my kid.
Yeah.
Like, I have no sympathy for you. I don't care about you. You took away my kid.
Yeah. So then, my favorite shot in the film is next. Does M try to run?
And no, at this point, M is just sitting there.
M is just sitting there.
Crouched down on the ground.
The crowd gets angry enough, they start going after him.
They're trying to. About to.
And then they all just stop. We don't hear anything. They all just stop. And just raise their hands as slowly as they can.
And, like, the ringleader that's sitting at the main table is the last one to stand up and raise his hands.
Uh-huh. I
thought that was
It's such a, like, haunting, scene.
Because, like, it's all noise and yelling and chaos is about to erupt.
And you know, like, violent, like, they're going to rip him apart.
Yeah,
they're going like to animals.
Murder him brutally. And then it just, like, quiet.
Everything stops. The silence. There's a lot of...
There's a ton of silence.
This film does that a lot. Just chaotic noise and then...
Silence.
Then just silence.
Which is quite eerie.
Yes, very much so. My first watch of this movie, I'm just like, oh, they can't use sound, so he just didn't use a lot of sound. I think that this is totally intentional. Like,
this is very intentional.
Maybe he's like, we can't use a lot of sound, let's use as much as we can, and then just stop. And
yeah.
And we'll just creep people
out. And we're
going
to do it creatively, because we don't have the resources to do it any other way.
And then just, it's obviously the police have arrived to save him, I guess, arrest him.
Yeah.
Do the law, follow the law.
Yeah.
But But it's just something about not seeing the police.
Yeah.
And just people like...
And M...
A mob just stopped in their tracks mm-hmm. and then just raising, like, surrendering.
And then it shoots... or it goes to M and he's, like, very slowly raising his arms and, it, like, I feel like there's so much relief on his part.
Uh-huh.
Even
like,
though,
like... you got me.
Yeah.
You can...
You can take me. It's can, okay.
You can kill... this guy slowly and
yeah.
peacefully and be rid of.
Yeah. I do want to go back to a point.
Yeah.
In the crowd, somebody says, because M is begging for them to take him to the police. And the guy's like, no, you're just going to plead insanity. And I thought that was very interesting because that still goes on today.
Yeah.
And it's very much like if us as, I don't know, the United States, people, population,
yeah.
that's the word, like, decided what we would do with criminals and people who murder other people, like, our population will probably...
That might be a theme. We might want to
get into it later then.
But, okay, so
we'll get back to this.
the very end of the film, moms are there, or, well, someone touches M's shoulder, and says,
oh, yeah.
in the name of the law, or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
It cuts to, like, the judges. Mm-hmm. Do they sentence him to anything? Do we figure out what he was sentenced to? No.
We don't know. It just shoots the judges. The judge comes out, sits down, puts on his hat, sits down. And then it shoots to, I'm assuming, three moms.
Three moms dressed in black. Mourning their children, obviously,
yeah.
says. They, like, I assumed M is dead at this point. Or is will die. Because they
Possibly.
Say, this will not bring our children back.
Yeah.
Like.
The mom says it.
Like, this was not worth it.
Yeah.
This didn't help at all. And then.
Like, it's not justified.
Yeah. And then it, like, cuts to black and doesn't say the end, which.
Nope.
It's just like, yep, deal with that, audience.
Yeah.
Yeah, so let's get into themes.
Okay.
So, yeah, there's the cops. And then there's. The rogue group.
Mm-hmm.
And you're saying, like, if America, or this is a German film, if any,
yeah.
any of the townspeople or the population, the not in charge,
yeah.
got to decide, we'd be a mess.
Yes. Yes, we would. And it would be just a vicious cycle, because the population would kill one person because of his acts, but then where do you stop it?
Yeah.
And, like, in the olden days, like, if you stole, your arm was, or your hand was cut off, like... Are we gonna, like, we would probably end up going back to that.
Uh-huh.
But then, in the other case, the police in this situation...
They almost have no power.
Yeah, and they wouldn't have found him.
Yeah, they would never have found him.
He
would be alive. Maybe the crowd at one point says, like, you'll just be free and...
Yeah.
You cured, in quotes.
Yeah.
And then just start killing again. And that very well might happen. And
yeah.
it's just... I think this is a look at just the law and
in general.
And the judicial system
mm-hmm.
and just how screwed up it is.
Well, yeah, and the crowd was saying, like, he's going to plead insanity, and then he's going to go to an asylum, and then he's going to get cured, and then, or, like, he'll get cured and released, or he's going to escape from the asylum. So, like, I understand where they're coming from. But at the same time, it's the policeman's job.
And he can very well get cured and
yeah.
never kill again. But
it's just...
again, they have everyone has a point here. Like,
yeah.
you can't rip him to shreds.
Yeah.
You just have to take him down and let the judge deal
yeah.
with it. Let
and,
the judge and jury deal with it.
And then at the same time, the mom at the end is like, this is not justified.
Uh-huh.
I still don't have my kids.
Yeah, they're still dead because
yeah.
of this man.
And it just, that whole situation just reminds me of our society today.
Yeah.
People
it
killing
really
people.
It really rings true.
And criminals are, they plead insanity. And there's in-depth research, but they still try to plead it.
Uh-huh.
Like, even if they are or not, either way, it's hard for the families who've lost kids or people.
Anyone.
Yeah. So it's very interesting that this was an issue in 1931.
Yeah.
And it's probably always an issue, but it's still an issue today and we still haven't figured it out.
Yeah, it's still a mess, like,
yeah.
this film. So then, another one, all humans are evil.
Yes.
Or have problems.
Yeah.
This guy can't help but kill children, mm-hmm. maybe even worse. But then his lawyer, who, like, gets all this sympathy, all this pity maybe even, starts to, like, try and says to the main rogue guy, like, aren't you wanted for manslaughter? Yeah. And he's like, that's not relevant. And I'm like, yeah, it is relevant, because if this guy's killing kids and, like, feels bad for it, like,
yeah.
you can, like, anyone in the room can tell he feels bad.
He feels awful.
But you're gonna just brush off three,
yeah.
Accounts of manslaughter.
Yeah.
Like, that's just, I like that this film, we get we're creeped out by
By M.
And then at the end, we're like, oh, poor guy.
Yeah.
Like, don't let him free, obviously, but, like, just take him to the police. There's a quote from Community that I always associate with this film, where, like, one of the students there goes to an air conditioning school, and then there's, like, this weird battle. It's a weird show, and, like, one of the characters admits he killed someone, and then the air conditioning students are like, yeah, let's burn him at the stake or something like that.
Yeah,
he's like, no.
Torture him or something.
Yeah, he's like, no, this man killed someone. Take him to the police.
Yeah.
And that just always, I'm like, oh, that's the plot of M.
Yeah.
That's the theme of M.
And I like in M's big speech at the end that he says, like, you cheat and you, like, you enjoy cheating at card games. And, like, he just lists all these other.
Yeah, just a bunch of bad stuff.
And it's just like, that's what I have to deal with, too. It's just, mine just happens to be murder.
Frowned upon much more than yours.
Yeah.
So yeah, any more themes you got?
I don't know. I wish I knew what was going on in Germany, like, completely
at
during
the
time.
Yeah, because, like, this is right before Hitler.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
And a few scenes, you see the police, like, when they go into the speakeasy, but they're on the street and they're marching, and it just gave me that.
Oh yeah, yeah.
That Nazi feel, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
But yeah, this is, like, right before. This is amazing that it's so sympathetic with something that's so, like, not sympathetic.
Yeah.
So, like, crazy.
And the director, I think, did a fantastic job, like, with all the cinematography and just the use of metaphors?
Yeah, metaphors.
Like, with the shadows everywhere.
Symbolism,
yeah. It was just a very creative movie.
Yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Want to get into the conclusion, what we thought about it?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, you go first.
Oh, I go first.
Yes.
Well, I really enjoyed it because I love controversial movies, especially when they take into account both sides. Can I rate it?
Yeah, you can do whatever you want.
I'm going to give it probably a 9 out of 10.
Nice.
So what, A?
A plus.
Yeah. I just think it's so fascinating, and there's a lot of talking, but if you really, well, I guess read the words.
Or know German.
Or that, or if you're German. And there's just a lot of information in it, and it's like, I like that we get to get into the minds of the police, and we also get into the minds of the rogue people, and more or less the mind of M. So for me, like, I like observing people, psychology. I really enjoy this movie.
Uh-huh.
It's very fascinating.
Yeah, I like how we see M by himself. Like, we don't really see anyone by themselves except M, and he's like sad and creepy and just like,
yeah, you can see that there's a ton of fear in him too.
Yeah, fear and confusion even.
Mm-hmm.
So
how old do you think M is?
The character.
Yeah.
He's probably in his 30s.
Okay, that's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
So, I really enjoy it.
Yes.
I was going to say one more thing, but I forgot.
If you think of it, go ahead. But, yeah, this is one of my favorite films ever. Probably top 30, which is a weird thing to say if you don't know me, but I make my own top 100. So, yeah, so top 30
yeah.
all time, seen thousands, 2,000 movies, I don't know.
Probably.
Something like that. So, yeah, it's just, I love how creepy it yeah. is and, like, haunting. It's like yeah. a haunting movie, but not in the, like, if you describe it to someone, they're going to go, like, oh, he's probably yeah. a crazy person, but you're more haunted by, like, the fact that these people are so crazy to get him.
Yeah.
Even though they should be.
Yeah.
They should be super paranoid about their children, but...
I would be too.
Yes, definitely. But, like, then it's just so crazy how it all mm-hmm. plays out.
Yeah. I remembered what I was going to say.
Yeah, go ahead.
I think I enjoy the fact that it's so dark. I like dark things yeah. in a creepy way. But... I don't know. For me, it's probably the closest I'm going to get to watching a horror film. So.
Yeah.
Like, it's dark, and it's creepy, and it's eerie, but that's what makes it kind of enjoyable.
Yeah.
Just the mystery about it.
Yeah, definitely. Just absolutely amazing on account that we've been talking for 42 minutes well, about it.
There we go.
Longest ep, everybody, and I still have a surprise for you, but... Mackenzie's gonna go.
Yes.
Do you have anything to say?
Nope. I will just leave you be.
All right.
Have well, fun.
See you later.
Bye, listeners.
Hello, listeners. all right. So as loyal listeners know, every 10 eps, I do kind of an award show thing: actor, actress, director, screenplay, and best picture out of the last 10. So, let me give you a rundown of the last 10 films. Looks like Dead Ringers, Summertime, RoboCop, High and Low, Alphaville, The Long Good Friday, Flesh for Frankenstein, Blood for Dracula, Picnic at Hanging Rock, and of course, M. Alright, so let's start with actor. Jeremy Irons, I thought he was going to win when I first watched it. That was the first one, 21. And he plays two roles so perfectly. And also Bob Hoskins in The Long Good Friday is so good. Very subtle performance. But man, Peter Lorre and M watching this tonight really, like, solidified that I just absolutely love this performance. It's so creepy, and then that speech at the end is one of the greatest moments in movies. Yeah, I'll be that pretentious. So, yeah, Peter Lorre, M, for Best Actor. Actress, not a lot in this one. Helen Mirren was good. Definitely Katharine Hepburn in Summertime was just a great performance of a lonely person looking for love, but just not admitting it to herself. But I really do like Anna Karina as an actress. I've only seen 3 things at this point. But yeah, her performance in Alphaville is pretty great. I love it. So let's get into screenplay. Alphaville, Jean-Luc Godard's film. I don't know who wrote it. Forgot to look that up. It's pretty late, so I won't. Picnic at Hanging Rock. I'm sure Peter Weir wrote that. I'm sure Jean-Luc Godard wrote Alphaville. Picnic at Hanging Rock, man. That's a good screenplay. But, the winner of the night, M, like we talked about. Just listen. Just listen. You'll see why we loved, why I loved it. Okay, director. Akira Kurosawa for High and Low, such a well-directed film. The acting, the shots, the weird play-like thing at the beginning, and then the tonal shift is great. Peter Weir for Picnic and Hanging Rock, such weird imagery, and like the one scene where the kid's like crawling towards the crevice in the stone, but he just can't seem to can't seem to get in there. That's just so weird and such perfect for the film. But, of course, Fritz Lang's M, obviously, just a great, great film. So let's go to picture. I think you know who's going to win. But, yeah, let's talk about Alphaville again. Very strange, like, science fiction, weird film noir. Just, I love Jean-Luc Godard. He just does some weird references and homages that it's just perfect. It's just him, and I just like his style. Picnic at Hanging Rock being totally eerie and creepy and well, hey, confusing. And I just, yeah, I think it's absolutely amazing. And obviously, M, you know why. You just listen to why. I love it so. Yeah, so that's been the awards. So, before I get to all the plugs, I'd like to give a shout-out to John, won't say your last name, for a nice email. He says he enjoys the show, listen to every app. Yeah, hey, thanks, John. Here's your shout-out. Hope you enjoy the this shout-out. And thanks for listening. Keep listening. If you want to send me an email telling me how much you love the show or, hey, hate it, send me an email at darincriterion14@gmail.com, yahoo.com. Sorry, that's D-A-R-I-N, criterion, number one, number four, at yahoo.com. Follow me on Twitter at thecriterionist. Read my movie review blog, schmuckforlife.blogspot.com, the schmuck F-O-R life. Listen to my other podcast I host with my friend Andrew. We talked about, let me think, The Incredibles. I think we really got into that, really enjoyed that app, recording that. So go listen to that, go subscribe to it on iTunes, give it a review, subscribe to this on iTunes if you haven't already, give it a review on iTunes. I'd love to see some 5 stars coming in from there. Yeah, so the next episode I will talk about Great Expectations from David Lean, I believe. Excited for that. Remember reading the book, and don't remember seeing this movie. It'll be a first time viewing, so thank you everyone for listening. I will speak at you next time. Bye.